Hello, hello, hello. I am so excited for you to dive into this podcast. This podcast is the first of many where I bring on creatives who are doing things differently in the world for the sake of humanity. They are stepping into their incarnation cross without even knowing it. They're doing things differently because of either an emotional connection, a self-awareness, a healing process themselves, awakening. But all of these people are doing things in a way that brings us back to our inner knowing, our inner awareness, and our creativity. We have lost our connection to creativity because we have been told that it is for kids, or when you are an adult, that we have to work and we no longer get to have fun. All of the people that I've been connecting with recently are turning that back. They're stepping into creativity so that they have the life they want. They are doing the businesses that they want. They are connecting deeply with the people that they want. They are creating change through fun, through frequency, through sound, through music, through dance, through deep connection, through love. I invite you to listen with an open heart. You can feel the energy. You can feel the love that Thomas has for humanity through his awareness of loving himself. I have started to shift the way that I am interviewing the guests on this podcast, asking questions that are in alignment with their human design energies. They may not even understand it, but yet when I speak about it, like in Thomas's interview, we talked about deep connection, innovation, quality time by himself. All of these things are different aspects in his chart. For example, he is a 2-4 generator. He talks about needing time alone to digest, to tune into his inner knowing. There is the two, that is the hermit. He talks about this deep connection and how he realizes the way that he is going to make impact in the world is through connections with people, not through funnels and marketing in a way that will meet millions of people, but more so through a deep connection. That is the four aspect of his profile, as well as the generator type. He talks about how when he wasn't loving and letting himself open up, he was pushing people away. Well, as a generator type, you have an aura that invites people into us, like draw us in. So because of fear or unawareness, he felt like he was pushing people away when he was talking in the we or the I, rather than inviting them into a deep connection, personal connection with him. I love this interview because it was fluid, it was heartfelt, it was fun. And it was fun in a way for me to witness him being in his energy of what he's here to bring the world and his vulnerability and the openness that he chose to come on the podcast with. I have had the opportunity to have ecstatic dance, go to Sacred City Camp. I have had the opportunity to go to a kirtan ceremony. And it makes me feel alive inside to know that people are out there really doing their work. And their work is not the materialistic building their business for materialism or being successful. That will happen, but it is through the work of self-awareness. I am so grateful that I get to interview these beautiful humans that are doing this inner work, that is willing to share their beauty, their love, their vulnerability, their creativity, their art, their music, their self-expression, their pain and their struggles with us. So please keep a lookout for all of the podcasts coming up. I will be releasing every Friday. The last thing I want to say here is, and I want you to bring this with you, every person that you get to connect with, and I'm saying get, every person that you get to connect with is a gift if you let it. If you let yourself open up to see their perspective, doesn't mean you have to agree with it, but to see their perspective and not judge, or to invite them into some vulnerability, you walk away a different person as well as they do. And that is a gift. That is the beauty of creativity. That is the beauty of understanding ourselves and our authenticity. Because when we are authentic, we draw authenticity out of others. And authenticity is aliveness. So let's dive in. Hope you enjoy.
Do you spend all of your time building and maintaining your business so that you achieve the success you envision? Do you feel frustrated, unfulfilled, and have a loss or disconnect from your creative flow? Are you a conscious leader that is ready for change when it comes to society's views on money, wealth, relationships, and what prosperity truly means? If so, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Provoking Prosperity Podcast. I am your host, Miranda Mitchell. I am a 2-4 Manigen who is here to empower and equip you to step out of the box of social norms, guide you into using your voice for inspiration and impact, and support you in finding what prosperity means for you so that you have the business and life that fulfills you. So grab that cup of coffee, get comfy, and get ready to hear the heartwarming and heart-wrenching personal stories, all things human design and jinkies, plus tangible practices that you can implement right now for your personal and business growth.
Hello, beautiful souls. This is Miranda Mitchell, the host of the Provoking Prosperity Podcast. And today I have Thomas Waterman. He is the founder of Sacred City and Humans Together. So grateful that you're here. Thank you for coming on the show.
I'm here for it, Miranda. Let's go for a ride.
Yes, let's go. I would love to start just sharing with everybody, what is Sacred City and Humans Together? What does that stand for, and a little bit of how it came about?
Sacred City came out of my spiritual awakening, if you will, and how I would explain it, it's a community of people coming together to build a magical place. And when I think about what makes a place magical, I don't think about policies or any of that kind of stuff. I think about the people. But Sacred City, we all come together, and brick by brick, through courageous choice to be ourselves, the city comes to life. So that's the invitation at Sacred City, is everyone just remember who you are, embody who you are, and embrace however life unfolds from that place. And to me, that is how a magical place is built. I know for me, when I get to that place of remembrance of my truth, and I'm courageous enough to put it out there in the world, whether it's doing a dance move in a grocery store, or saying no when I'm afraid of the reaction, or singing my heart out when I'm uncertain if it's going to sound good. The more I do that, the more magical my life becomes. And the more I'm surrounded by others who do the same, the more magical my world becomes. So we gather in ceremony, we do kirtan journeys, we do celebrations where we dance our faces off and rejoice in the magic that we're all creating together. Miranda, you've been to some of those. And yeah, and it's really just a self-development community built on being authentic. And who knows how it will evolve. It will continue to change as more people bring their gifts into the fold. And then Humans Together is a movement built on a belief in a world where humans finally do the amazing things I know that they're capable of doing. Like, I know that humans are capable of doing amazing things, but there's just so many things that get in the way from my experience. I know for me, what gets in the way of me doing amazing things with myself or with others is often my conditioning, my trauma, my ability to communicate, my willingness to be vulnerable, my ability to be empathetic and understanding, my willingness to take ownership, my ability to organize people, ask for consent to lead. All these systems and tools, people don't have those systems and tools to learn how to finally do incredible things together. So my goal with Humans Together is to get into mainly organizations and help them strip away everything getting in the way of their teams doing incredible things and really impacting others.
Mm. as soon as conditioning came up, my antenna jumped up because we are conditioned even the minute we're born. So I love that you brought that up because I truly feel like most everybody is conditioned, and conditioning is not always negative, but we have to be aware of where we're conditioned so that we have a choice rather than just being reactive and not thinking within the choices that we make. You mentioned during your spiritual awakening or journey, what came up for you in that? Share a little bit about that. And vulnerable is good. And I know that you're stepping into vulnerability more. So I always...
Oh, I'm here for it. I'm ready to lay it all out and be annihilated by whatever happens. Like, I'm ready. So it really, I think, began when I was 24. I was drinking heavily 4 or 5 nights a week. And I had a corporate job at the same time. And I was just waking up hungover, probably still buzzed, going into work and just doing it all over again. I call it sustaining the unsustainable. I was sustaining an unsustainable situation. I woke up feeling empty, anxious. And every single time I thought going out and drinking was going to get me what I wanted. And every time I woke up the next morning, it didn't. So one day I decided I was going to quit drinking. And I just stopped for a week. And in that week, I got so much clarity that I went into work that Monday and I was like, what am I doing? And I just was so clear that I knew I had to leave. And within 30 minutes, I was done with that life and that world. And I haven't drinking alcohol since. And what has been interesting is since that choice, there's like a new layer that has revealed itself again and again and again of things to let go of that are getting in the way of me being in my fullest. So the next thing was like my relationship with caffeine and my relationship with food, my relationship with women, my relationship with status, you know, is like again and again and again, the next layer was revealing itself so I can become aware of my ego and aware of all the layers of my life and begin to do the work to like figure out how to not get rid of things, but maybe integrate them in a healthy way and then let things go that don't want to be there. So it was really started with the alcohol thing and then it went into purpose. I was obsessed with purpose and doing meaningful things and all that. And I was doing like purpose-driven business. And then from there, the next step revealed itself and that was the heart. It was feeling and feeling the oneness and feeling connected to emotions. And then once I had the heart part of my awakening, then it was just like the cosmos. It was just the next layer. And that's when I ended up leaving my whole life in Orlando that I had built. And I went to Bali and I just got blasted open as Bali does. And that's really where I discovered kirtan and ecstatic dance and breath work and really where I got a lot of my inspiration for Sacred City to come back to the United States and begin sharing. But I will say, I shared kirtan, which is the foundation of Sacred City, through an invitation, through someone saying, I'd love for you to do that for me. And I know that has something to do with human design, I think.
Yeah, you are a generator type. So it was through response. A lot of times we get these ideas and we have these brilliant ideas, but it may not be right timing. So a lot of people, what happens is they end up putting it out in the world and trying to make it happen and force it to happen, even though there's resistance. You were able to respond. And because of that, everything unfolds, which we kind of talked about,
yes,
about the unfolding of life rather than the planning and making things happen. I wanted to ask you about the drinking and sober, because that is a huge aspect of Sacred City. Can you go into that a bit and even go into, I'm going to provoke a little bit, go into, is there space for people that are really wanting to move towards that, but aren't there yet as far as being sober?
Mm-hmm. So I think for me, the alcohol, what I realized was an adventure at first, and then it became an escape. And I was in a fraternity, and I'm still in that fraternity. I'm still helping, you know, in that fraternity. But it was a culture where we were just drinking every weekend. We were drinking every night. I just got to a point where I ran my head into the same wall enough times where I realized I was ready to climb the wall. So alcohol just really, my relationship personally with alcohol was one of escape and just wanting to not confront my life. I just kept wanting to turn away and put things off and put things off and put things off. Alcohol was my way of doing that, was my way of not confronting reality in this moment. There was just no more desire for drinking. So I like every the day I stopped drinking, I haven't even wanted it at all. And I, you know, I'm not like, I am going to be sober for the rest of my life. I'm not putting these labels on myself. I just know I don't have any desire for it. Or my desire for clarity is so big that the small desire to get that buzz just doesn't really come up or provoke any action. I do want to be clear that there's no judgment at all. I don't think that's the right way to do things. I don't think being sober is like good or bad or any of that. And I think there's many ways of escape. I know I still work through like my Instagram addiction or YouTube, or I've had my bouts with pornography as well. So all these ways of getting some kind of quick dopamine hit so I can escape what I really want, because then maybe I'm afraid that I won't be able to get it. That's my relationship with alcohol. And so what I realized is I like having a space where me and everyone I'm around are on the same page and generally here. There's nothing against any medicines. I know tons of people who have done a lot of medicines, you know, from ayahuasca. I've done psilocybin journeys, powerful. So I get it. I love it. I think there's space for all medicines for different people and different times in their life. I just like having a container where we're substance free and generally present and here. So Sacred City emerged as that space for me. We always say like, it's one of our pillars is sober. You know, being enjoying the clarity of a sober lens. And it's not that's the only store on Central Avenue in Sacred City. It's just one store on Central Avenue in Sacred City. Like, I imagine there will be many stores with many different medicines in the Sacred City. So I just like having it. I like having a space like that. And I don't think it's the only space. It's just a space I enjoy having. And it's fun. It's really fun to see everyone like not on anything and like dancing and going crazy and singing and feeling ecstatic and being like, oh my God, I feel like I'm 5 years old again. There's a bit of a playful kind of innocent energy that comes up as well.
Mm-hmm. And when you say Sacred City, this is in St. Petersburg, Florida. Are you planning on doing any other events anywhere else? Are you open to that? Because right now it's in the Florida area.
So another part of Sacred City is realizing that the Sacred City is not just my vision of what I think is the best city ever. Sacred City, the way I explain it, is the outer expression of the inner sacred place within. So the Sacred City is coming to life, I believe, for everyone. The more they lay their bricks, they remember who they are, embody who they are, and embrace however life unfolds from that authentic place, they're laying the bricks of their Sacred City. So the Sacred City comes to life through courageous, authentic expression, essentially. And then inviting others to do the same. The Sacred City is everywhere. The Sacred City is alive. There's pockets of it. You know, everyone who's been touched by this and everyone who's already been doing this, they just call it something different. The Sacred City is coming to life, you know, from my perspective. With that being said, in a more like pragmatic answer to your question, I'm very open. I was actually thinking about this today of having like a Sacred City Asheville or a Sacred City Austin and inviting other leaders to step into holding that space and lifting others in that way and creating that container. So I'm interested in that. I think what I like to do is just fortify the system and get it down and like really build a strong community here and then see what unfolds again. So see what unfolds from there as icing on the cake.
I want to bring in some aspects of your energy as far as human design. If you want, you can close your eyes or you can just listen. But this has to do with your incarnation cross. What this represents is the energy that you are here to be and the way that you are grounded in that energy. I would just love for you to share afterwards what comes up for you. And then from there, we're going to go into some questions based on this that we will include in your process with Sacred City and how that's come about. Your path involves a harmonious blend of nurturing and caring for others, innovating and introducing new ideas, sharing stories and experiences, and realistically accepting and working within life's limitations. By integrating these capacities, you can effectively contribute to society and find personal fulfillment.
That was big. That was loaded. I think the one thing that stands out is nurturing people. I think what I've realized is something I love to do is have a very nurturing one-on-one experience where we're like really with someone, like really there. And I realize everything in my life unfolds from that. I think about with Humans Together, my consulting firm, my two main clients. One of them is one of my best friends. I was his best man at his wedding. Another one is one of my brother's best friends from childhood. And then another client I had last year, I was super into their company. I played soccer with him and developed a deep friendship over like a year, 2 years. I realized like when I'm in that nurturing state, when I'm connecting with others, everything emerges from that. And just to trust that. So many times I've tried to build an ad system to reach millions of people and da da da. I'm realizing my natural way is just connecting and nurturing and seeing what emerges from that place.
With the heart.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. In the heart space hot tub, as we call it.
In that nurturing aspect with Sacred City and how you be, how does this reflect your authentic self? Because you mentioned authentic previously, and I know this is something that is key in the pillars. Well, how do you ensure that you stay authentic within Sacred City and what you're creating?
Oh, this is juicy. This is good. Well, the first thing I would say is, to me, the greatest act of love is to share with someone the thoughts in my head and the feelings in my heart, and to turn toward them instead of away from them when tension is coming up. So something we talk about as a band, because the band really is the foundational leadership of the movement. We talk about if we want this to grow, if we want this to sustain, we have to be willing to love each other well, to nurture each other from the heart and continue to till that soil and water those plants through truth and love. This is the two things we always talk about. Are we courageous enough to turn toward each other and be real and vulnerable and honest about how we're feeling? And then love, are we willing to keep our hearts open with each other, even when it's hard, even when I want to turn away, villainize, say, screw you, I'm out of this, get away from me. Can I stay committed to staying open and true? And if we can do those two things, everything is possible. To me, the field of creativity comes alive in the intimacy of that environment where everyone is turning toward each other with truth and love. So that is our constant commitment as a band. And then that is our invitation always to the community. And every time before we go on stage for ceremony, we get in a circle. And that's the first thing we say is like, hey, what are we doing here? Like, we're being truthful. We're being loving. We're embodying that. We know it's hard. We know it's scary. We know we don't do it well sometimes. I know I don't. I know I'm like, I apologize so much. So many times I get a little trigger, you know, a little tension. And I'm like, hey, I just want to let you know, I apologize. I projected there. I got tense and I'm so sorry. And that is where the restoration happens. And then, okay, we've restored the field and now creativity and anything is possible. So it's just a practice, one-on-one relationships. And that's what I talk about. For me, I'll never forget my fraternity. I was at this conference and there was like thousands of Sigma Chi's. That's my fraternity in this ballroom. And the international president was on stage and he said, Sigma Chi is not this. It's not this big group of bros. Sigma Chi is you and me. And that really hit me. I was like, everything, there is no like group of people. It's a bunch of people who have one-on-one relationships. And that's how I experience it. Mm-hmm. So when I realized that, I realized the key for Sacred City to sustain and expand is to continue to nurture with the heart and with truth every one-on-one relationship. It all matters. I can't just walk in a room and restore things by saying something. It's about every one-on-one relationship in that room.
And the importance of keeping your heart open, even if there's conflict, that is hard.
It's the key. It's the way forward. It creates a path forward when it feels like there isn't. That's what I've experienced every time I'm feeling that get away from me vibe. And then the heart opens back up and then the healing happens and then there's restoration. And then, wow, we can keep walking together. This is amazing. So yeah, it's been crucial in my life.
Now, when this happens, is it almost instantaneously that you guys talk or do you give space? Because I know for me personally, I do a lot of work on the gene keys and the gene keys goes into the way that our core wounds respond. So one of my core wounds, when I feel like someone is attacking me, not physically, but attacking me, or I feel like fear, is my heart, and I can feel it happen. My heart literally closes and it's like ice. From this space, I can say
the worst things because I'm so cold that I can just, my mentality is there to protect me from my heart. So, and it takes me a little time. So do you have a space for that or how do you guys work through that?
I've found that every person is different in that way. Mm-hmm. So first thing is there's the proactive and then there's the reactive and then there's like the after active. So the proactive, what we do and what I like to do in my relationships, but what we do as a team is create that space through an initial proactive conversation. Hey, everyone, if tension's ever coming up, it would mean so much to me that we can turn toward each other and be open and honest about it and work through it and trust that it will be received and it will be heard and we will, like, an ownership will be taken. So having that proactive conversation together as a group, one-on-one, and establishing a safe procedure when things come up, this is how we can move through it and know it will be received. And that often, like, helps the nervous system and helps, you know, break through some of the conditioning where the fear response usually would come up. It's like, oh, wait, but they told me that I will be received in love. So maybe I'll do it this time. That's the proactive. And then the next is the reactive. So like in the moment. So some people, I know for me, it's easier in the moment to be like, I got it. I feel it. I'm going to apologize or I'm going to open up. I'm going to be vulnerable or I'm going to share that I'm hurting. But for some people, they're more processors. So I know someone in the band that we have a system, you know, hey, it's maybe going to take a couple of days. And I'm like, I love you and I see you and I get that. And that's amazing. As long as you're coming to me and we're able to restore connection and reestablish the intimacy in our relationship, as long as we're going to get there at some point, I'm here for it. It's been really powerful.
I'm glad that you're aware of the differences and you can see the energy and feel the energies of the differences, because a lot of times people can feel that energy, but then we assume that everyone is like us. And if we can do something, then what? We don't understand why they can't.
No, yeah, I still think that sometimes.
Well, we all do. And that's actually where the Gene Keys and Human Design has helped me, because I realize how different everybody is from me. So I love that you're aware of that and you give that space, because within a community, that is important for everyone to be their authentic self, to have that space.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree. But it's come through stumbles. You know, it's come through being in the arena, feeling stuff, and like, but being committed to working through it together, we've figured these things out. It could have easily been like, I'm not going to say anything and I'm just going to run away. I'm going to quit. I'm going to stop. I'm going to not talk to them anymore. That's kind of the easy way. And maybe sometimes, I'm not saying that's like good or bad, but because we stay in it and we're willing to hear each other out and be vulnerable, we find that, we uncover that this person takes 3 days and this person takes 3 seconds. So, and I know there's different tools that can help, you know, expedite that process, but the arena is where a lot of this wisdom comes from, and through being willing for it to be messy, but still be in it together has been huge.
My next question goes to the idea of innovation, because in your energy, there's a lot of innovation and starting new things. Do you feel that that is true?
I'm quick to see a brand and then like, wow, that brand could be huge. Like that could be a huge movement. I could see the Instagram now. I could see the event and, you know, all that for sure. And I think though it's integrated a lot, because I've seen the importance of consistency and hard work and like being really committed and dedicated to something, that I feel like I've integrated that tendency to want to start a bunch of stuff. I've really integrated where I'm like, okay, how about instead of starting a bunch of different things, I just keep refining the things that I'm building, like the root systems I'm creating, and keep refining that. So it's become more of a refinement game than planning a bunch of new stuff everywhere.
And the unfolding as well as things come up for you.
Oh, yeah. Refining through the unfolding. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And with humans together, like the whole system, it is a big part of the system is the check-ins. So we check in on our metrics every single week. We check in on our plan every single month. And we check in on our vision, purpose, and values every year. So that's what every company does that works with us. And the intention of that is the refinement game, is let's not do a whole bunch of different things. Let's keep refining and innovating and just tweaking this amazing thing we're building, this amazing thing we care about, this amazing thing we said there's nothing else we care more about. Let's keep tuning this. We know it's not going to be perfect. I know version one, like version 10, it takes version 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 to get there. Knowing that, let's not worry if we're not hitting our metrics. Let's just use that as a clue and seeing how can we innovate and get a little better and see what happens.
So how have you stayed true to your original core values while exploring those new possibilities that show up for you?
Ceremony. Absolutely. I've been so hot on this. I love tea ceremony. Like, oh my God, I could go for hours. My dear friend, we just did like a 2.5 hour, 3 hour ceremony, and it was just profound. And what I realize is that's my place to get still enough so I can remember. It's my place to come back home. And when I'm feeling off track, when I'm in my mind, when I'm thinking about a bunch of stuff and blah, 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 you know, ceremonies where I get still and remember. And that's my place to keep coming back, because I know I'm going to get off track. I'm a human being. I'm going to think about things. I'm going to try to please people. I'm going to try to get status. I'm going to do all these things to try to preserve myself and my body in this lifetime. I get it. I'm a human being. I get it. So ceremony is my place to come back to the being side. You know, that's the human side. I'm going to come back to the being side and then continue to be a human from that place. So consistently, I go to Christina's tea ceremonies at the tea temple twice a month, like pretty intensely. I'm pretty intense about it. It's a place for me to remember and reground so I can emerge back into my life from that aligned, truthful, sacred place. So I can feel like everything I'm doing is in alignment with that core.
That also goes to the 2-4 aspect, I feel, in your chart, the 2 in your profile in human design. The 2 represents the hermit, where it is important for you to have time and space in this energy to kind of digest and move through things to become clear. And the 4 then is all about opportunities through networking. So you have that with the T because you have that space to reconnect to yourself, which I feel is why society is kind of a mess. Not a lot of people take that space to be away, to slow down, to listen within. It's all external, being told what to do, see what to do, like what I want, what I should look like, all of those things. They don't take that time to reflect and go inward. And it seems like that is a known for you, to go inward, to find that space during tea.
Something there that came up for me is what I realize is how much I used to think about society and changing society and impacting society. So I'm curious your thoughts on this, because I used to really be in my head about that. And now I'm just like, what's the most impactful thing I can do? Is thinking about that useful? Like, so I'm just focused on embodiment. All right, just embody, just be the way, just be it. Just live your life, figure it out, help the people around you. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? And so like, it's kind of interesting because I've kind of shut my mind off a little bit and stopped thinking about that. Now my whole world has become the thing I'm doing, if that makes sense.
I don't try to change the world, but I do know when I do my work and every person that I connect with, that changes them.
Yeah, totally.
In June, that changes a lot of people, because then every person they get into contact with, it's the same.
I love that. And because also the other piece is, do I know how the world ought to be? Like, I don't know. Like, what happens if all my ideas all of a sudden were implemented across 8 billion people? Like, would that help people, or would it create massive disaster? Like, I have no idea. It's kind of all in theory. So I realize like how limited what I know is. So I just contribute by being myself, by sharing my truth, opening my heart, showing up. That's my contribution to the whole, knowing that I don't know the full answer for all people, because everyone's so different. And I'm just a guy that has a limited experience. I feel like I've been so humbled. I don't know shit. You know what I mean? Like, whatever I know is just a set of things that happen to be kind of working for me right now. You know, and I don't think it's the ultimate truth. I don't think it's what's right for Miranda. So that's a big thing for me. And that's really a shape Sacred City. You know, one of our pillars being sovereignty, and it's all personal journey. It's like, I'm not here to tell people how to live or what spirituality is or any of that kind of stuff. I want to facilitate a place where everyone's on their own personal journey, because I like being around people like that. And it encourages me to do it too.
And authenticity too. If each person is on their own self-reflection and tuning in, then it's their authenticity. And then there's diversity so that we get to learn new perspectives.
Yeah, how cool is that? So then the whole picture begins to take shape because I'm getting a taste of everything. Yeah, so it's been really like relieving because I used to be so obsessed with finding the ultimate truth and I got to know how everything works and then I got to make sure everyone else knows what I know. I felt like I was in my head a lot and not really getting a lot done. I feel like a little more productive now that I'm just embodying and inviting. It's been a relief. I like sharing a little bit from my own experience and seeing how people resonate with it.
So going into sharing, I want to go into the stories. Your stories, you mentioned earlier, it helps you connect with people. How do you feel about sharing your story? You do have 56. This gate is all about storytelling. You actually are here to share stories and connect people through stories, heartfelt stories, or even challenges and struggles. How does that work for you?
I feel like I always have something to share, whether it's during ceremony or just hanging out with someone in community. There's always something to share because I'm pulling from the well of my daily life. And I realize I don't really want to share like how things work or tools. What I want to share is stories from my life. I want to share what I've been going through and what I did to overcome it or what I'm experiencing. And then through that, other people feel connected to me. They relate to me. They don't feel alone. Now they're picking up a couple of things that I did. They're trying it on in their life. I'm curious about how that went for them. What did they do? So during ceremony and I'm on stage, I don't know what I'm going to say other than the general like structure. And I really just pull from what's on my heart this week, what's coming up for me. And what's cool is everyone else is a human being too. And oftentimes from my experience, they relate and it's not everyone. Some people are like, yeah, I didn't really relate with that. And then 10 minutes later, someone walks up to me and they said that was exactly what they just went through yesterday. And oh my God, it was amazing. So for me, vulnerability has been my superpower. I used to speak in a lot of you language and a lot of we language and a lot of like, this is how things work language. And I feel like deep down, I was putting people at a distance by speaking in that way. I was kind of keeping people a bit away from me. I was protecting myself. And then I had a dear friend who is a psychologist introduce me to eye language and sharing from vulnerability. And I got a little triggered at first because it was letting people in. And then it became my superpower and it became something I love and a way I can really connect with people. All people and feel connected to people because then they're being vulnerable. So I love sharing about vulnerable stuff. I'll talk about YouTube addictions. I'll talk about my journey with pornography. I'll talk about my journey with women, with alcohol, with spirituality, with just being a messy, crazy human being. I'm constantly reflecting on the ridiculousness of who I am as a human and the magic of who I am as a being every day. And it's fun to keep sharing those stories because people connect in different ways. So it's been everything, really.
I feel most people do want to connect on a personal level, but like you in the beginning, people are scared. They're scared of feeling too much. And it's not just feeling the pain. I feel like people are scared of feeling loved too much because then they're afraid of, well, what happens if I lose it? Or what happens if I'm not good enough? I feel humanity as a whole, if we would truly start feeling and letting ourselves be vulnerable and be messy, I call it the messy, like be the messy, cry, scream, anger, whatever it is, feel, let yourself feel. Then we would feel and connect with one another. And then we would want to support one another more rather than compete or compare. So the vulnerability for everybody is the superpower.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I feel like it melts separation. When someone goes first with vulnerability, I know for me, it kind of reminds me of that Zoolander. Have you seen Zoolander?
I have.
So that moment when, him and Hansel are they're beefing, they're mad at each other. And then Zoolander comes to his like hideout warehouse. And then one of them breaks down, or I think it's Hansel. And he's like, yeah, man, you're my hero. I just feel so sad that we're beefing all the time. And then Zoolander's like, what do you mean? Like, you're so amazing too. Whoever's willing to finally break down that barrier of the ego and be vulnerable about how I'm really feeling, that I'm actually, what I'm doing to make me feel, be cooler than you and better than you is actually a pain. that's a pain I'm experiencing, and I'm feeling hurt actually, and I'm trying to protect myself from you. So I find every time I finally get over myself and share what I'm actually feeling, that I'm actually feeling hurt or scared, or that I know for me sometimes with people, I'm afraid they're going to be better than me. So if I just keep them at a distance, then I can keep like winning and protecting myself. But if I feel like they're going to be better than me, then I feel vulnerable and scared. And how much the medicine of me actually saying that out loud is every single time. And I agree. And then all of a sudden it goes from we're against each other to, oh my God, we're both human beings. We're figuring this shit out. Like, let's walk together.
Mm-hmm. So that goes into external too. External expectations, external relationships. How does that tension with the external expectations, how do you stay true to yourself and your authenticity when there is expectations from others?
Yeah, that's the word is surrender. And it's been a big journey for me over the last 7 years. And I realized that I'd rather ride a roller coaster with my hands up than holding on to the railing. And I realized when I'm trying to control everything to meet expectations, I'm holding onto that railing, you know, and freaking out, and I'm tense the whole time. And I'd just rather ride a roller coaster with my hands up. I'm tired of trying to control everything to meet expectations. I'm tired of trying to make everyone like me. I'm tired of trying to be charismatic so that girl thinks I'm great and maybe will date me one day, or try to be so smart so that guy, that lady or that boss or whoever wants to hire me. I'm just tired of it, Miranda. I'm just tired of it. And I think I just had to attempt to control the world around me enough times to be like, I'm going to die if I keep doing this. This is unsustainable. So surrender for me wasn't really like, oh, that's a good idea, let me do that. It was more, it's the only thing I have left. Because I trying to control everyone and everything, which I still do sometimes. I still try to be right. I still try to, you know, be something. It still happens for sure. But like when I can just let go, I feel like maybe I'll actually live. Like maybe I'll actually be able to do this human thing for a long time, because this thing I'm doing right now, this controlling everyone thing, is not working.
Or even controlling how people perceive you. It's not even controlling everybody. It's how people
Controlling yeah. perception. That's the main thing. That's the main thing, is controlling perception for sure. So a big practice of mine is just to sit in and feel and not avoid the fact that someone doesn't like me. I just heard the other day someone was saying something negative about me and about Sacred City, and I was feeling that subtle activation come up, feeling a little threatened. I'm feeling kind of danger, like, oh no, my whole life's going to crumble down because this one person like doesn't like me or thinks what I'm doing is wrong or something. And I just came back to my heart and I just said, send prayers to that person. And I just kept coming back to that. And that's what helps me. I think in situations, my hack that I've used is when I'm feeling that tension, I'm feeling like someone's a threat. I'm feeling like, oh no, they're going to think I'm not the best thing ever. Oh no, they're going to think I'm normal or below normal. This is not good. My dreams are not going to come true if this is going to happen. I come back to, if I am warm, overflowing love, if I am warm, overflowing love, how would I feel in this moment? What would I say? What would I do? So in that moment, when I heard that person was talking smack about me and my peeps, you know, I could get hard and be like, he's stupid or she's stupid, or I could get threatened, or I could just come back to my heart, send love to myself for all the messiness of that, but then come back to my heart and be like, I'm safe. I'm love. I love that person. There's nothing they can do to make me feel like we're not on the same team. We're on the same team no matter what they think. And let's keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, we're all on our own journey in our own space, and you never know when a person's triggered, when they're going through anything. And a lot of times it's not right timing. That's what I've learned too. I've brought up many things to people and they laugh at me, and it's like, okay, it's not right timing. It has nothing to do with me personally. It has to do with where you're at, and that's okay. Or maybe you'll never be in the space, and that's okay too. I still love you for who you are in this moment right now.
Just to honor someone where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
What a gift. And when someone honors me where I'm at and is not trying to get me to be where they're at directly or passively. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I realized I did that with my parents a lot. A lot. I like became a parent, a controlling parent, wanting them to wake up and be spiritual, be loving and communicate in certain ways. And, you know, all this kind of stuff. I would not like that if I was a kid. I would not like my parents to do that. Now I'm doing it to my parents. What the heck? I would want them to just meet me where I'm at and love me where I'm at. So it's been a huge journey of letting go of that control. And it's been great because forcing things often doesn't really work. And it feels like a lot to keep together. But allowing things to emerge, loving people where they're at, allowing their journey to unfold. Hey, maybe we'll sync up later down the road. Maybe not. It's all good. That has, again, made my life feel like maybe it will be sustainable. Maybe I'll be able to do this for a long time.
And that's actually even giving love to yourself. You're loving them, yeah. But then you're also loving yourself.
Absolutely. It's making my life feel like actually I'll be able to do it. You know, so it's a sustainability strategy, really. It's like, and that's what my thing is, like, about love. You know, like, I feel like I'm not doing love or truth because it's the right thing to do. I'm not trying to be righteous. For me, it's just really effective and feels great. Ultimately, it feels very healing. It feels very restorative. It feels very productive. It feels sustainable. So for me, it's just doing the hard thing so everything feels more useful. And I'm not trying to be a good person. Look at Thomas. He's so good. He's so righteous or whatever. Like, these are just things that are helping me feel good in life and expansive and sustainable.
And sometimes the love aspect, because I've gone into a lot of my own chart, and I had a lot of things with self-love when I was younger. Mm. Everything in my chart is love. It's everything. So for me, wow. I feel so much, and I would close that off because it was too much. It was like too much feeling. Now opening up to that and just loving whoever, whenever, in that space for who they are, right? It's very vulnerable, but yet it is the most freeing thing that you can possibly have, is just to love another.
So how did you integrate that where it wasn't feeling like, what if you open your heart wide open, like Miranda's wide open, and someone breaks an agreement, you know, they made with you? How do you move through that in a sustainable way? I'm curious.
Well, I hide away and hermit away for 3.5 hours, journal and cry and do all my stuff.
And is that worth it? Like, is that worth living with an open heart?
Oh my gosh, yes. Because then it opens me up to even love and trust even more. And it makes me realize that they're going through their own stuff. It has nothing to do with me, honestly. Yes. It's them.
Right.
So,
absolutely. Yeah. Their sovereign journey. Yeah, I agree a lot. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
No, thanks.
Yeah, you've very integrated, like, a really healthy process for yourself. That's incredible.
Thank you. Taking lots of years, just like you. Lots of years, lots of self-awareness, doing the work. I like to call it the work.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people get scared by the work. It's just opening. It's releasing. And once you get to that, it's so well worth it. So I have one thing as we close. I'd like to ask you to reflect on how embracing your unique blend of nurturing, innovation, storytelling, and acceptance. These are your four key aspects as far as what you're here to bring the world. So nurturing, innovation ideas, storytelling, sharing, and acceptance. So what do you hope others learn from your journey, and how can they apply these lessons to their own path?
Well, I feel like it just keeps coming back. You know, my prayer for others, which I feel like was like the second part of that question, but it feels like a focus I want to take on. My prayer for others is that they go on their own journey of remembering who they are. It's because I know for me, what I see in others is magic. Like, there's so much gold in the gold mine of a human being. So my prayer is that they go on a deep quest of remembering who they are, and then give that gift to me in our interactions through embodying who they are. Please give me that gift. Please, please give me the gift of your expression and your truth. And then together we can ride that roller coaster and know, living an authentic life. I know for me, trying to control everything was kind of a merry-go-round that I was tired of riding. But an authentic life is a roller coaster. It's wild. There's twists and turns. Who knows what's going to happen next? I'm in my truth. One day this is my life. The next day maybe my life is a little different because I'm in my truth. I'm embodying who I am. So that we can ride that roller coaster together. And that's really what I want. I realize what gets me really excited is being around other people. And one, first me being in this, and then being around other people who are in that upward spiral coming back into ceremony to get more truth and more understanding and more clarity, going out into our lives courageously, even when it's scary and there's unknown and we're afraid we're about to get rejected and our whole life's going to change, but we're in devotion to the truth anyways. And then embracing it, seeing everything as medicine, like really experiencing everything as medicine. And I know for me, it's not like I'm in this all the time. I'm not always, oh yeah, everything is such a blessing. Oh, it's all so great. Absolutely not. I'm in agony, you know, sometimes. And I'm like, screw this. I don't want to feel this or, you know, whatever. But just the commitment to come back to it has really helped me in my life so much to come back to, you know what? Even though I don't want to admit it, this is a teacher. This is a guru. You know, this is a big moment for me. Those moments when I had my gallbladder issues, I was in my bed for a couple of weeks. I couldn't even eat. I lost like 30, 40 pounds. And I was just like, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. And I really experienced that as medicine. I was so grateful for every little moment because of that. Every little moment, just to walk outside, look at a tree was the best thing ever. Just to eat like vegetable soup was the best thing ever. Yeah. So I want to ride that roller coaster with more people. I want it to be a packed ride and we can all put our hands up and live this life in a really fun way.
And that means the stepping into courage, like you talk a lot about stepping into courage.
Yes. Yes.
I like to say it and get into the uncomfortable, because I feel like if you are comfortable, then you are in a space that you are no longer evolving. So it's important to dip that toe out and step into a little bit more courage, go try something different to continue to grow and evolve and get different perspectives and ideas and connect with different people so that you learn, because we only know what we've already learned or what we've read. But if we close off to that, then we close off the possibility of something that we don't know yet. So by opening up with love and trust, then we get to receive new possibilities.
It's scary though, Miranda.
Oh, I know, but it's so awesome.
I know. Ultimately, getting on a ride I've never been on is scary. And then it's invigorating, you know, and I've seen that to be true time and time again. Going just beyond the comfort zone. And I think that the second layer to this, and I'll end with this, is the values piece is so important. So I'm taking those aligned jumps beyond the comfort zone. I think something we do, we have these, like, we had a retreat for Sacred City, and we invited people to get clear on their values and then get clear on the threshold where they're afraid to go beyond. So if it was like truth, but they're afraid to tell their dad that they felt hurt about something, that's the threshold of their willingness to embody truth. It's with their dad because they're afraid of what may happen. So then we created sacred space for them to share the fear story. What are they afraid is going to happen if they do it? And then the love story. Like, what is the reason why it's worth it to do it anyways? And then we created a space for them to do the thing, whether it was role playing or they actually called the person or whatever it was, to do the thing beyond the threshold of their values. So that's why I think getting clear on values is so important. It helps me know, where do I want to go beyond my comfort zone? These values are directions for me to know where I want to take that next leap.
Mm-hmm. So you don't get lost in that comfort zone.
And also in the discomfort zone. Like, discomfort could also mean like do crack in a different country or something. You know what I mean? The values help me know I'm moving forward when I'm getting out of my comfort zone, that I'm moving in an aligned direction.
What are your values?
For me, truth. So being honest, even when it's scary. Love, opening my heart, even if I might get rejected. Surrender, accepting, embracing whatever happens as medicine. Action, being willing to show up and do the thing. And then the last one is presence. So really being here and coming back from my head really into this moment, into the like expansive nature of like looking at the sun dancing on this tree branch in the wind, or the rain coming down, and like really getting into that moment. So those are my current five. Mm-hmm. I actually just went through this again recently, and yeah, they serve me as pillars to know, where do I want to take that next leap beyond my comfort zone?
Mm-hmm. And it, when you put them all together, it's really about living life fully as your true authentic self.
Yeah.
Right?
Ultimately, embodiment. Being here embodied in who I am, essentially.
Well, I wanted to thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. I did go to the retreat, Sacred City Camp.
Yes, you were at camp.
Which was amazing. I met so many beautiful people there. It was so much fun just to dance and to just be, like you said, out in nature barefoot. Dancing was amazing.
Doing the thing.
It was amazing. So looking forward to next year, because I know that you're already putting that out there. So we'll have that information and where to reach you in the show notes and all your details. So if anyone wants to reach out to you, I'm grateful to know you personally. And I'm grateful that you came on.
Thank you, Miranda. Thank you for holding the space, asking really intentional questions. I had so much fun. Usually I ask a lot of the questions. So this was like very much a love language experience for me. So I'm feeling very like nourished. Thank you. This was great.
Thank you. Thank you.
My hope is that you walked away with something today that has opened your mind, your heart, or both. Listening to new perspectives not only help you grow and expand, but it helps humanity as a whole. So if you have someone that you feel would benefit from this podcast and you feel that you want to share, please do. Also, would love to connect with you on Instagram. So please follow me at Miranda J. Mitchell. One last thing, if this episode left you with any ahas and insights, take 30 seconds of your time and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. This is the only way I know you are loving the content and connection in this space. And if you want to know more or wondering how we can work together, please go to miranda-mitchell.com. Click on the contact in the menu and send me a message. Sending you all love. Till next time.